All right, so we are holding on mem zion of a bay's 9 lines from the bottom. We mentioned in the Mishnah that you can't make a mezuman using children, but then we said that actually Rav Yossi or Rav Asi had said in the name of Rabbi Shulman Levi that you can make him one of the 10. You can't make him one of the 3, but you can make even a baby one of the 10, because there it's fundamentally you already have people who sat there and ate and then are able to make a mezuman. It's just a question of adding Hashem's name. So he had said you could add a baby.
If it's a tenth, right.
In that connection, we mentioned also that Rabbi Shulman Levi had said that an Eved can count as one of the 10 people for that purpose, whether it's for benching or whether it's for a minion. Mm-hmm. And we have this story with Rabbi Yehuda. So continuing on that topic, Rabbi Shulman Levi, La'olam yashim adam leveisa knesset, the person should always get up early to come to shul, kidei sheyizke v'yimona im asara harishonim. This way he'll have the schus to be counted among the first 10 who are there in shul. Because then even if 100 people eventually follow him and the shul is packed, people all of schar kulam, the person, one of these people who came first, gets on him the schar of all of them. What do you mean the schar of all of them? Don't they deserve a schar for coming to shul? Why should he take it away from them? Ella Eman, you're right. Ella Eman, noisim leschar kinegim kulam. Right, we don't mean that he gets their schar. What he means is he gets a schar equivalent to all of theirs because he was one of the first 10. Getting back now, so that was a digression since we talked about the matter of a minion, so we're mentioning that. Getting back now to the matter of counting people towards a mezuman. Actually, some of this also is relevant. Some of this is relevant as far as a minion as well. Amar Rav Huna Tisha v'Oren Mitztarfin. Rav Huna says 9 people plus the Oren can count together to make a minion of 10. Amar Rav Nachman says, what are you talking about? The Oren Gabrahu? The Oren Kodesh and Shul. Is that a person? How are you counting it as one of the 10 people? Ela Amar Rav Huna, so rather Rav Huna says, no, we have to correct it. Tisha Nirin Ka'asora Mitztarfin. You have 9 people that look like 10. Then it combines. Then they combine together to make a minion. What does that mean? They look like they're 10. Amri lakim chanti. One version is that when they're gathered close together, so when you have 9 people are sitting or standing very close together, it's very easy to confuse them with 10, as you mentioned that the other day.
So
one second. Amri lakim avadri. Others say when they're scattered, because then when they're scattered, just the opposite. You're going to have a harder time counting them, and therefore you're going to think they're 10. Yeah, what is going on over here? Hello. What is going on over here? So first of all, there is an explanation that's brought in the name of a number of achronim. I've seen it in the name of Zolmi Goin and Lechida, and I don't know who else. But the word Oroin over here actually refers to Hashem. I mean, the Oroin itself represents Hashem's presence in the shul, but the word Oroin actually stands for the abbreviation Echad Roya Ve'enei Nira. One Hashem who sees but is not seen by us. So therefore,
Aleph
Resh Vav Nun. Echad Roya Ve'enei Nira. So therefore, Vav Nun. Echad Roya Ve'enei Nira. So therefore, according to that, then when Rav Huna, to begin with, said Tisha V'Oren Mitztarfin, then when Rav Nachman asks him, is the Oren a person, what it is Rav Nachman didn't understand what Rav Huna is getting at. And therefore, as we're clarifying that we're talking about when the people are close together or scattered, as the case may be, the point is you have the Shechina over there, or you have some level of the Shechina, because we learned earlier in the Masechta that depends, the greater number of people, the greater the level of Hashra'at Shechina. But anyway, the idea is that the 10th one would be Hashem himself. As we find, for example, we find that Hashem joined as the 10th one when Yaakov's sons, when they were making the Cherem, that nobody should tell Yaakov that Yosef was sold. We find Avraham was trying to have Hashem as the 10th one, and he's davening Kisdoim. With all that said, though, there is, we find new that when Avraham was davening Kisdoim, he asked that even if there's only 45 people, that Hashem should spare all the cities, because Hashem himself will count as the 10th one. But so you have that precedent. With that said, though, there was a very interesting story that Rabbi Lustig was telling me yesterday that he heard, where the Baal HaFla, Rabbi Pinchas, the Baal HaFla, who later on was the Rav of Frankfurt, the Baal HaFla is the name of an important sefer he wrote. So he's called the Baal HaFla. Anyway, so this Rabbi Pinchas was not originally a chassid. So he, at one point, he came to the Mizrachi Magid to find out what is Chassidus all about, he wants to talk with the Mizrachi Magid and learning. Rav Pinchas himself, the Baal HaFla, was a tremendous Talmid Chacham. The Mizrachi Magid was also known to be, so he wanted to. The Magid sends him off to Rav Zusha. So So he comes to Rav Zusha. Hold on. Akasha of Amaisi, you're asking. But wait. So let's tell the story, and you'll see. So he comes to Rav Zusha. Rav Zusha says, I'm not sure I understand. The Magid is tremendous Talmud Chacham. I don't know why he sent you to me. But okay, since you're here, then fine, let's talk and learn. This Gemara over here, Tisha V'Aron Mitzvahim. So what's going on over here? What's the logic that the Aron would be counted as a tenth person? No. Rav Zusha says to the Baal Afla. So the Baal Afla says, okay, new, you're right. It is a good question. So what do you say? So Rav Zusha says, I think the Gemara is saying is like this. You can have a person who's full of Torah, like the Aron Kodesh is full of Sipri Torah. But nevertheless, the Gemara is asking, is he a Gavra? Is he a person? Or is he just a piece of wood? In other words, it's not just enough to be full of Torah. You also have to have, you have to know that the Torah that you're learning connects you with Hashem. You have to learn Chassidus, and that convinced Rav Pinchas when he became a Chassid. There's a story that Rabbi Lustig told me that he heard from one of the other, I think from the Rabbi Alster. Anyway.
Is this related to the
on the face of it not, but maybe there is some connection that it represents the Shemin.
Can you have Chassidus and still be like a stick?
That's unfortunately, I suppose you can have a person can learn Chassidus like they learn any science or whatever and not actually have it transform them, but that's something else. All right, let's go on. Amr Rav Ami, Shnayim v'Shabbos Mitzvah. And Rav Ami also says, 2 plus Shabbos can combine for a Muslim. So what do you mean? Amr Rav Nachman. So Rav Nachman says the same problem. The Shabbos Gavrahu, is Shabbos a person? How is it the third person? Ela, Amr Rav Ami, so Rav Ami corrects it. Shnei Tamar Chachamim ha-mechadid in zeh ba-alocha. 2 Tamar Chachamim who sharpen each other with halacha, mitzvah, and they can combine together and they're considered like a Muzuman. So here also you have an explanation that Achronim say that Shabbos is also meant as, just like we said, Oren is an abbreviation, Echad Roya Ve'en Mira, the same thing, Shabbos is Sheyesh Be'nehem Torah. That there is Torah between them.
But they can't do a Muzuman, but there's two.
But that's according to what Rav Ami is saying they can, but wait. Machvid, so what is an example of 2 Talmid Chachamim like that, who sharpen each other, where each one asks questions that force the other one to think and to delve in? Machvid of Chistik, again, another Rav Sheshes, so Rav Chistik signaled, for example, me and Rav Sheshes. We're an example of that he sharpens me. Machmir of Sheshes, Gananar of Chista. Rav Sheshes did the other way around. He pointed to Rav Chista that he sharpens me in learning. So that would be an example. Okay. And another din. Now wait, we haven't yet gotten to what the halacha is, so hold that. Amr Rav Yechanan, cotton pereach mezam din olam. Rav Yechanan also says a din, a cotton pereach you can include in a mezuman. Rashi explains cotton pereach. Give me a chance to explain. Cotton pereach, Rashi explains, is that he has simonim, he has shtei sairus, but he's not yet actually 13 years old. It happens. Sometimes boys grow shtei sairus at an earlier age. Tosfos doesn't like that. And Tosfos rather brings from Rabbeinu Hananel, it means the other way around. And not really the other way around. It means he's under 13 years old, he has shtei sairus, but the shtei sairus have a minimum length. They have to be long enough. In halacha, to be considered sairus, they have to be long enough that you could bend them, that you could bend the tip of it to touch the root. If they're not that long, then they're not yet considered hairs in halacha. Actually, you have opinions that even when they're a little smaller than that, where you're already able to cut them with scissors, then it would be, but whatever. To be considered definitely a gadol, they need to be long enough to loop over to the base. So the explanation over here is, Tosfos says, according to Rabbeinu Hananel, is a cotton pereach, if he has the shtei sairus already growing, but they're not growing, they haven't grown big enough yet to be, to lock of roshim le'ikon, to bend over the tip to the root. Okay. So Rabbi Yochanan says that you can make a mezuman involving such a person. Tani Nami Hochi, we learn similarly in a b'raisa, cotton shevi shtei sairus mezam min olav, a cotton that has shtei sairus, you can include in a mezuman. The shaloi hevi shtei sairus in mezamin olav. If he does not have 2 hairs, then you cannot be mezamin on him. You cannot join him in a mezuman. And the braisa continues, the in medactic in bakotten. You're not medactic in a cotton. So what does that mean? So what does that mean? You don't check carefully into what the situation is with him. So what does that mean? I'll go for kasha. You have a contradiction in the braisa. Amrit hevi shtei sairus ein loy hevi loy. You're saying that if he has 2 sairus, then you can count him for the mezuman, or not, Loy hevi loy. V'hodot tani ein medatik in bekotten. Then you're saying that you're not precise about it. La'asuriyeh mai. So what would that be coming to include? Lav la'asuriyeh cotton pereach. Wouldn't that be coming to include this case of cotton pereach? So we're not medatik. In other words, we say that we don't care. We don't care if he's exactly 13 yet, or if he's younger than 13, as long as he has, as again, according to Rashi, that he doesn't have some, that he has some money, even though he's under 13. So we're not medactic, and we say, yeah, but he's under 13, so he can't. And according to Tosfos, we're not medactic to say, okay, but the hairs aren't long enough to be considered some money yet.
What's the word perech
means? Perech literally means, perech literally means blossoming. Like Malashim perech means a flower, yeah. Okay, however, the Gemara says, the less hilchsek to call Hani Shmaitza. The halacha, though, is not like all these teachings. Now, which teachings are we talking about? Tosfos gets into a bit of discussion about it. Does it mean all the ones that we said all the way back to Rabbi Yossi saying that a baby, you can count him towards one of the 10? Does it include this last one that we just said about Rabbi Yechanan says, cut and pereya? Tosfos says, I mean, why? You know, Rabbi Yechanan said a statement. We even go to Brisa to support it. Why would the Gemara all of a sudden be changing its tune and saying that there's no, that the halacha is not like that? So Tosfos gets into a bit of discussion what exactly is and isn't the halacha like. A couple of possibilities. One is that the halacha is not like some of these statements. For example, we don't say that the cotton can be one of the 10. We don't say, for example, that the Oren can count as one of the 10, or that Shabbos, or Tum and Chachamim, that sharpen each other in halacha count for a Muslim. So the halacha would not be like any of those. However, we would be saying that a cotton pereach, Rabbi Yechanan's last statement, you could, provided that Tosfos learns he has to be pereach, according to their definition, as well as he has to know who a bracha is speaking to, that a bracha is addressed to Hashem. Sometimes you have a kid who doesn't realize that yet. So you need to find out. So according to that, then we know if we know that he has shtei tzairos, but they're too small, but at under 13, he has shtei tzairos, but they're too short yet. And he knows lamim mevarchin, then you would be able to join him. Then he would be able to join them in a mezuzah. That's one possibility. Then Tosfos brings another possibility is that we do also accept Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi's first, not Rabbi, Rabbi Yossi's, Rabbi Asi's first statement, that a baby can count as one of the 10 for towards a Muslim, but not towards the 3. As far as the three, you would say that he needs to be both Pereach and Yedeah, Lamim Mevarchin, in order to be one of the 3, but to be one of the 10, he wouldn't. So again, Tosfos gets into a long discussion about the pros and cons of this. So the actual halacha in Shulchan Aruch, the Mechaber, Paskins like the opinions that you can, in fact, based on our Gemara, you could have a cotton, as the Gemara is going to say in a second, Hayyadei Lamim Avorchin, who knows that a bracha is addressed to Hashem, the Rambam, for example, Paskins, that way you could join him in a mezuzah. However, the Rosh disagrees based on what we're saying over here, the halacha is not like all these statements, and therefore, so the Rambam says that the minhag is like that. We don't allow a boy under bar mitzvah to join in a mezuzah. He can answer, of course, but he can't be one of the 3 or one of the 10. However, on the other hand, we have a concept many times in halacha called where we learned about it in Nida. Actually, it's called chazaka de rabba. The chazaka is, once a boy is 13 or a girl is 12, that they have shtei tzairos. We don't actually have to go and check. We don't have to do, for things d'oraisa, like for example, chalitza, there we actually have to do an examination to see. But for most purposes in halacha, we can use chazaka d'rava. Here it is also like that. So a boy 13 is able to join in a mezuzah. We don't know whether he has shtei tzairos. That's fine. We don't need to check. We can assume he does. But if we happen to know that he doesn't have proper shtei tzairos yet, then not.
Why don't we go by, instead of going by pure physical criteria, where we see if he understands that?
Well, that's Ela Kihad to Amr of Nachman. So we go according to what Rav Nachman says. A child who knows whom we're addressing when we say, when we daven or when we make a bracha, then you can include him in a zimun. Again, the Rambam, for example, takes that at face value, that a cotton of that age, even if he's only like 9 or 10, can already join in a zimun. The Rosh disagrees, and therefore the halacha is, at least for Ashkenazim, is not like that, because the Rambam says that, in effect, the halacha is that even though, Rav Nachman is saying cotton ayedel mimavochin, mizamnin olav, but again, Tosfos is discussing over here that may mean that he's both, that he's not actually a cotton. He is 13. In age, he is 13. He also has shtei tzairos. They're just not long enough yet. And he's your day alamim avorchin. So if you have all those criteria, then yes, you could be mezamen on him. Okay, so we don't actually check. We use chazaka de rava, but yeah. Okay. So the Gemara tells in this story, in this connection, a story. Abaye the Rava have a yasu kamei Rava. Abaye and Rava, or Rava bar Rav Chanan, those are different girsa, were sitting in front of Rava when they were fairly young. Omalahu Rava lamim mevarchin. So Rava asks them, whom are we addressing when we make a bracha? So according to Tosfos, one possibility is that we're not actually trying to find out. Rava is not actually trying to find out whether they're of the age to make a zimun, because given the answers that they gave, and then the fact that Rava was impressed, as the Gemara is going to go on to say, we can't be talking about that they were cut in Perea, according to Tosfos' definition, where they're 13 already, because then there's no chiddush in what they answered, and there's no chiddush in asking them who a bracha is directed to. So Tosfos says that we just want to, that there's the Gemara, according to that, then the Gemara would just be using this to illustrate an example of what it means a cut in Ayideh al-Mim Mavarchim. Not that in this particular case, it was unexpected that they would know, but the Gemara is giving an example to how you test that out. So fine. So Lamim Mavarchin. On Amrilei L'Rachmana. So they answer him to Hashem. Okay, but he still has to find out, do they actually know what Rachmana means? As Marsha points out, you know, sometimes you have a kid, you teach a kid, you know, we dive into Hashem, but what is Hashem? He has no idea, you know, he has no clue what Hashem even means. So, V'rachmana heicha yosiv, so he asks them, where does Hashem sit, so to speak? Rava achli l'shmei tzlala, so Rava pointed upward to the ceiling. Abaya nofet labara achli klap yishmaya. Abaya went out and pointed up to the sky. Omalahu Rava, so Rava was very impressed, and he says to them, tarvecho rabbanan habesu. Both of you, I can see, are going to grow up to be tamid chacham. Haimu da'amri inchi, this is like what people say, butzin butzin mikatsa yediya, every little pumpkin you can see from its sap, meaning as soon as it blossoms and starts coming out of the sap, you already realize this is going to be a good quality pumpkin. So the same thing, even these kids, they're very little, and already we can see that they're going to be great people. What's the idea about why one of them is pointing to this? So that's the point. Again, Tosfos is saying, we obviously are not talking about that they're 13 or close to it, and there's not much of a chiddush, but they know that Hashem is in Shemayim, so to speak. So it would be that he were illustrating the idea of Yadei Alamim Avorchin. In this particular case, they were much younger. So why is one of them pointing to the ceiling and one of them is pointing to the sky? So Rav Levi Yitzchak, that Rebbe's father, talks about in Teres Levi Yitzchak, that he draws a connection between Abaya and Rava and what we call in Chassidus Makif HaKarev and Makif HaRochek. You have the Makif HaKarev, there's something that encompasses a person but is close to him, for example, his clothing. And then you have Makif HaRochek, you have a Makif which is further away, which is less accessible by the human mind. An illustration of it would be a house, and even more so the sky. So he draws a comparison over here. He explains on, based on various other things in Gemara also, that Rava is more connected with Makif HaKarev and Abaya with Makif HaRochek. Therefore, Rava points to the ceiling and Abaya goes out and points to the sky. I saw also a fascinating...
Is more connected to
the further away Makif, right.
What it means, more spiritual?
No, well, not more spiritual, but in other words, he's dealing with a certain higher level of Alakos. Anyway, so there's that. So there's a fascinating explanation also that I saw brought from Rabbi Tzvi Pesach Frank, who was the Rav of Yerushalayim in the 40s and 50s. He says, Rava, we know, had a regular upbringing. He had parents who were actually quite well off, and they gave him a proper chinuch and everything. So he points up to the ceiling as if to say, where do I have my chinuch from? How do I know that I'm speaking to Hashem when I say a bracha? I learned from the roof, from the house in which I grew up with my parents. Whereas Abaya, we know, was a Yosef. His mother passed away in childbirth. His father, even before that, he was raised by other people. So he goes and points up to the sky as if to say, like, I get it directly from Hashem because I didn't have parents to teach me. Yeah.
Who said that?
Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank, who was the Rav of Yerushalayim about 70 or 80 years ago. Okay. Amar b'hoda b'red yav shmo b'ashilas mishmedirav. Tisha ochlu dogon. If 9 people ate grain, so they ate bread, the echad ochlu yerek, and one... Dagon means, well, it means after it was made into Dagon, after the pile was smoothed out. What we mean, in other words, it means chameshes mine Dagon, any of the five types of grain, wheat, barley, etc. So if 9 people ate Dagon, so 9 people ate bread made out of Dagon, the echad ochel yerek, 1 ate vegetables, mitzarten, they can combine together to make a mezuzah. Omer of Zera, so Rav Zera says in that connection, Ba'oi mine min of Yehuda. So I asked Rav Yehuda, is that true only if one of them ate vegetables? Shmoina mahu, shiva mahu. What if it's 8 people ate bread and 2 people vegetables? Or 7 and 3? Omalei loishna. And Rav Yehuda says it doesn't matter in that case also you can make a mezuzah. Then he says, Shisha vaday lo niboyli. Six, I definitely did not ask. Now, we have over here in front of us the word vaday. However, Rashi mentions over here that Rav Zera is regretting the fact that he didn't ask Rav Yehuda, so therefore, apparently, Rashi had a different girsa over here, which you find also in some other spotim, not vaday, but vaida. Woe is this. Woe is this that I didn't, too bad that I didn't think to ask him about six. And yet another explanation is that here we have another abbreviation, which is vaday, according to that. We find this in the name of Rav Heschel, the Rav of Krakow, who was one of the Rebbeim of the Shach, and then the name of various other Achronim, that vaday, just like we had before about Oren and about Shabbos, that those are abbreviations. Vaday here is also an abbreviation. Vidalid Ochlu Yerek. And four of them ate vegetables. Okay. So anyway,
why would you make an exception for six? Seven.
Well, because if seven yes, then six maybe yes also, but I didn't ask. You did well by not asking. There was no need to. Listen, why is it that you're saying that if you have seven or eight or whatever, then you're able to make a mezuzah because most of them ate bread? Okay, six also is a roiv, so what's the problem? However, the Ihu Savar, however, Rav Zera, who's regretting the fact that he didn't think to ask Rav Yehuda, he says, Ruba de Minka Be'inan. It could be that we require a noticeable majority. When you have six against four, it's not really so noticeable that that's the majority. When you have seven against three, then you have it noticeable. That's two-thirds already. Then you have more than two-thirds. Then already, so maybe, in other words, so you would need at least seven to, so you would need at least seven who ate bread in order to make a mezuzah.
You mentioned this a few days ago.
You did?
About having more people and less people, it's noticeable, not noticeable.
Yeah, well, that's true, right? We talked the other day about you can have, sometimes you have nine people sitting together and it's not so obvious that you're missing them. Well, you actually talked about it just now in the Gemara before. No, but it's just, well, okay. The point is that once you have two-thirds, so what is the actual halacha? The actual halacha is that, yes, you can count somebody who did not eat hamotzi as part of the mezuman of 10. As we're saying in the Gemara over here, even if they ate vegetables, Tosva says even if they just drank something, the Alter Rebbe says even if they only drank water. But you do need, as far as whether six is enough or whether you need seven, that you have a machlokas for showing him who the halacha is like Rav Zera or like Rav Yirmiyah in effect. Most of the poskim, paskin like Rav Zera, that you do in fact need Ruba de Minka, so six would not be enough to make a mezuman if the other four didn't eat bread.
But not the same.
If you have, what?
Doctor
never said that. So six is a machloikas, and in practice, then we don't make a mezuman in that case. At least a mezuman with Hashem's name, that is. But if you have seven or more who ate bread, then even if the other three only ate vegetables or drank water or whatever, then you can.
But six with
the
zonis is fine. Six and four.
So it's the four eight and the zonis. Yeah, for sure, there's no problem. Yeah. So the Gemara tells a story in this connection about this idea of leading benching. Yanei Malka u'malkta krichu rifta bahadi hadodi. Yanei HaMelech, this is in the time of the second Beis Mikdash, and his queen, one time were eating bread. They were having a meal together. U'midekota lahu l'rabbanan. Now Yanei had killed the Chachamim. We learned earlier in the Masechta, we learned on Daf Chafes, we had a machloikas between Abaya and Rabba, who we said Yochanan Kohen Gadol was 80 years of Kohen Gadol, and then he became a Tzaddiki. So Abaya says he is the same as Yanei. And we find a Gemara in Kiddushin where Yanai was convinced by the Tzedukim that the Chachamim are disloyal to him, so he killed many of them. So Abaya says this is the same person. Rava says it's actually different people. Yanai was a Rosh Meikroi, and then he became good, and then he went bad again, whereas Yochanan was a Tzadik Meikroi, and then went bad. But anyway, the Gemara mentions, and the Gemara tells in Kiddushin a whole long story over there where the gist of it is that they called Yanai's Yichus into question because his mother had been a Shvuya, and a Shvuya is also to a Koyin Midrabanon. So the upshot is that a Duki over there convinced Yanai that the Chachamim are disloyal to him and are trying to undermine his kingdom, and Yanai was convinced and became a Duki and killed many of the Chachamim. So ever since then, therefore, lo have it lo inish l'varuchilu. So now he didn't have anybody who can lead benching for them because all the Chachamim are gone. Actually, a couple.
Duki, yeah, Duki.
But apparently, even at least at a public meal, though, he's still going to be following the din. First of all, even the Tzedukim, I mean, it says, right? And we're going to learn on Amud Beis, actually, that from the Tzedukim over there, we learn about the various brachas of benching. So apparently, he wanted to have somebody to even if he's a Tzeduki, he still wanted to have somebody lead benching for them. actually you have a couple of the Achronim, a couple of the Achronim, Yom Yaakov talks about this, the Tzlach talks about this, that it's not that nobody knew how to bench. I mean, they weren't such Amei Aretz that nobody knew the text of benching. What it means is, though, that there wasn't anybody distinguished. They want to have a Gadol to lead benching, as we said before. In particular, the Yom Yaakov says you want to have somebody who's able to give a bracha to the Balabais. We said the other day that the guest is supposed to lead benching in order to say a bracha for the Balabais. They didn't have anybody of that caliber. Anybody whose brachas would mean anything. So Amar lo l'dvei, so Yanai says to his wife, Man yoiv one gavra d'mevarech lo, and if only somebody would give us a person who could say the brachas for us, bench for us. Amar lo, so she says, I know of one, but ishtabali, first swear to me, v'imai sinolach gavra, that if I bring you such a person, d'lo metzaris, that you won't cause him trouble. Mm-hmm. Well, ishtabali. Yeah, it's Shabbala, so he swore to her. I see Sila Shimon ben Shetach Achua. So she brought out Shimon ben Shetach, who was her brother. She was her brother. So she had hidden him when Yana is killing the Chachamim, and now she was able to bring him out safely.
Oh.
Yeah.
He was not a Kohen.
No, who says he was? Yeah, no, of course he was. No, he's a Talmud Chacham. Oysei Bedidei Ledidah. And they seated him between the king and the queen. Very important position, very important place at the table. Amalei, so Yanai says to him, Chodis kamer yakra of dinalach. So Yanai says, look how much covered I'm giving you. You should be grateful for it. Amalei, so Shimon ben Shetach says, lab at kamokrasi. You're not actually the one who's giving me the covered. Eli right, so demokrasi. It's a Torah. That's called.
We went to that.
Okay, but nevertheless, he's saying, you should know. Don't take so much credit for it. It's really because of the Torah that I'm getting this covered. Dichtiv, you have a pasuk. Salsaleho usudomeka. Play with the Torah. Salsaleho, there's a couple of possible meanings. It means raise it up. It means like delve into it, like when a person is playing around with his hair or whatever. Usudomeka, and it will uplift you. Techabedcha, it will honor you. Kisachavakena, when you hug it. We see that a person who learns Torah and participates in Torah, and Shimon ben Shetach was, he was the Nasi, he was the Abbasidin, he was one of the leaders, we have in Pirkei Avos, right? He was one of the ones, Kiblu Mehem, he's one of the links in the Masorah in his time, so therefore he's saying the cover that you're giving me is not really from you, it's from the Torah. Just that Yana should realize, in other words, that don't think to take so much credit for this. That don't think that now all of a sudden we figure, okay, you're honoring someone Chachamim and all is forgotten and forgiven. Be aware that this is the Torah that you yourself said that is not so important, that Duki told you is not so important. As the Gemara says there in Kedushin, Munachat v'keren zavus, it's sitting there in a corner and anybody who wants can learn, it's not so simple. Okay. Fine. So Yanai says to his queen, Kochozis, Zolema Kabul Moros. Look at that. You see this kind of person, he doesn't accept on himself the malchus, the yoke of the kingship. Look at this. You do a person like that a favor, and he's saying that it's not me, the I am doing him the favor. All right. Anyway, Yahweh Baruchi, they gave him a cup of wine to bench over. Omar, so Shimon ben Shetach says, Heichi Aborich, what kind of a nusach of a bracha am I supposed to say? Baruch Shachar Yanai v'chaveira mishaloi. Am I supposed to say a bracha that Yanai and his colleagues ate? I didn't eat anything over here. How can I be leading benching? Given it doesn't say they gave him anything to eat, it just says they sat him down over there. He'd been in hiding. They brought him out. Shafti lahu kosa. So Shimon ben Shetach drank up that cup. Then Yahavalei kosa achrina. Then they gave him another cup of wine, Uborich, and then he was able to lead Birchas Hamazon. Now, does that work? Amar of Abba, by the way, the Yerushalmi has a whole different version of the story. The gist of it is that Shimon ben Shetach one time had gotten Yanai to pay for the korbanos of a bunch of poor Nazirim. The story in brief is that there were 300 poor Nazirim that come to Shimon ben Shetach with a problem. We can't afford the animals for our korbanos. Shimon ben Shetach doesn't have the kind of money to raise for 300 Nazirim. So he goes to Yanai, who was his brother-in-law after all, as we're saying, and he tells him, you know what, let's make a deal. There are 300 Nazirim. If you take care of half, and I'll take care of the other half. What happened was, first Shimon ben Shetach goes through these 300 Nazirim, he finds ground to be Matu Neder for 150 of them. That's 150 are gone, they don't need their korbanos. Then he goes to Yanai and says, there's these 300, if you take care of half, I'll take care of half. So Yanai pays for 150, then he finds out people master on Shimon ben Shetach. They didn't pay for anything, Yanai paid for the whole 150. So that's why Shimon ben Shetach was forced to go into hiding.
Okay.
Then
afterwards, or that was before he killed the Chachamim.
So the Yerushalmi doesn't mention about the part with killing the Chachamim. So it could be a different story. It could be something personal. In other words, between
the Shara, was it true?
Yeah, well, it may have been true, but true is still Lashon Hara. What's the difference? Anyway,
he took care of 100.
Well, hold on. But as far as Yanai was concerned, taking care of means with money. Anyway, well, listen, the upshot is the Yerushalmi continues with the story, and it's in the same Gemara over here, corresponding to our mission over here in the Yerushalmi. That one time, a Persian delegation came to visit Yanai, and they're sitting and eating and talking and whatever, and they say, you know, there used to be this old person over here who used to say the most amazing things, the most amazing thoughts at the table. Where is he? So then you have where Yanai swears to his queen that he won't harm him, and he brings him out, and then said that they have the whole discussion that we have over here about Mizilman, and then so he asks him, news, so why'd you trick me about the Nazirim? He says, I didn't. I took care of 150 of them with my Torah, and you took care of 150 of them with your money. B'tzela chokma, b'tzela keset. That's, yeah, they each won, yeah. Okay, anyway. All right.
Yeah.
Okay, well, yeah. All right. So anyway, so now the question is then, so again, we're saying Shimon Shaddach drank the wine and then he used that as a basis that he could lead Benjamin. Does that
eaten.
Without having eaten any food? Omer Rav Abba, Breder Rav Chiya Ba'Abba, Omer Rav Yechanan, Shimon Shaddach the Ovid Lagame or the Ovid. This that Shimon Shaddach did was only according to his own personal opinion. The other Chachamim would disagree with him on that. Namely, the Hachi Omer Rav Chiya Ba'Abba, Omer Rav Yechanan, La'olam Einim Moitzi Esirab Yidei Chayvas, and a person cannot be Moitzi other people their obligation of benching Ad Sheyecho Kezayis Dagon, unless he actually ate a Kezayis of bread or something similar to bread. So in this case, this that he drank only a cup of wine is not enough for him to be able to pass through other people from benching. Rashi and Tosfos both point out that you have on the face of it, you have a problem like this. This that you have to bench on only a kezayis is, we're going to learn later on in the parak, is only dirabanan. If other people ate and filled up, then they have a chiyuv of a benching daraisa, because we're halter the savata verata. So how can he who's chayiv of only dirabanan, how can he be mosi people who are chayiv of daraisa? So in fact, Rashi brings from the halachas gerlis that or Gemara would have to be talking about only where they ate, a kezayis or a kebetza or whatever, but not where they actually filled up.
We learned a little while ago, maybe 3 weeks ago, that if you drink wine, has two things. One can fill you up and satisfy.
That's true, but that's true. First of all, that's only if you drink a certain amount of it.
Exactly.
So maybe, well, we don't know how much he drank over here, but we always drank. He drank two cups. Well, he drank one before and one for benching, but one cup is not necessarily enough to have that thing of filling him up. And besides that, also the halta of a savata, we learned the other day. We had a machlokas between Rabbi Gamliel and the Chachamim, whether that refers back to all the shivas and minim or only bread. The halacha is it refers only to bread. So therefore, it doesn't matter if he filled up on wine. The fact is, he didn't eat bread.
I'm not considering you, like Pesach, you make kiddush, and you can't eat mezonos, you take extra wine and eat that.
Well, by Pesach, I mean, you're continuing with the meal, and eventually you're going to eat matzah, that's the makom soda.
Because by kiddush, people don't have, but they had a kiddush up that, so it's not yours.
So that's valid, yes. You can have an extra reviyat of wine, and that counts, right? But that's not the same thing. That's as far as the kiddush should be makom soda. That's not as far as benching. Anyway, Rashi brings over here from the halachas gerlos that in fact it would not work if they had eaten and were completely full. As Rashi says, I don't like that. I mean, Yanai and his group over there are not eating just the kezayis. They're obviously having a big banquet like kings do. And yet we see that Shimon Shaddach says that he could be motzi them. And we're saying that if he had eaten a kezayis of bread, then he could have been motzi them the whole alma. So Rashi doesn't like what the halachas gerlos is saying. Tosfos also gets into a discussion of it. Rashi also mentions in that connection that a cotton is not really considered mechoyev. It's not really so. Why don't we say then that a cotton should be able to be mosi people if he's chayev d'rabbanan? And Rashi thinks because he's not really chayev d'rabbanan. His father has a chiyuv d'rabbanan to make to be mechanech him. The kid himself doesn't have a chiyuv d'rabbanan. Anyway, Tosfos gets into a further discussion of it. That one possibility Tosfos says is that actually maybe even if the person hasn't eaten at all on a d'raisa level, he would be able to be mosi them because arevos kol yisro arev mizelozeh. Only midrabanan do we have this concept that you need to have eaten a certain amount, and only in order that you should be able to say shalchal mishaloi, and not like Yana was saying. So we don't have to say shalchal Yana v'chaveh mishaloi, but not necessarily that he wouldn't have been able to be mosi then without that on a daraisa. Tosfos also draws a distinction between a gadol who, even if right now he hasn't eaten kedei tzviya, even if he only ate a kezayis, fine, but he's the kind of person who has a chiyuv d'oraisa to bench. Right now he doesn't because he didn't eat kedei tzviya. as opposed to a cop never has an obligation daraisa. So therefore, there's more reason to say that a person, even if he didn't eat, even if he didn't eat kadesh tviya, can be motzi other people. The actual halacha in Shulchan Aruch is similar to what Tosfos is saying, is that, because you have other Rishonim also say similarly, is that a person who ate kazayas dagon can be motzi other people with benching, even if he's not full and the other people are, for the reason that Tosfos is saying, because he is basically a bar chiyuv, because right now he didn't eat enough. It's not enough for him to have drunk just wine, like we're saying in our Gemara here, only Shimon ben Shatan holds that way. Nowadays, it says in Shulchan Aruch, nowadays that everybody benches for themselves anyway, in principle, a person could be leading benching even if he didn't eat a proper amount. Although in practice, it's still better to have somebody who actually ate kazayas dagon, even if it was only cake or something, be leading the benching rather than somebody who ate or drank something else. Okay. So the Gemara says, I have a contradiction. We learn in a braisa of Shimon Gamliel, all of the hasev imahen, that if a person goes and reclines together with the other people to eat the meal, afilu le'tavol imahem elabatsir, even if he only dipped something into sauce to eat with them, so he didn't actually have bread, but le'ochol imahem elagregerasacha, so even if he only ate with them one dried fig, mitzdarish, then he still combines together for the mezuman. The answer is okay. The Gemara says it's from mitzdarif. True, it can be mitzdarif. But can be mostly other people with benching. Then he himself has to have eaten the kazayis dagon. So we still see that Shimon Shadrach, who said that you can lead benching after only drinking a cup of wine, is only according to his opinion. Agoyis Abach brings over here a different gusa. That's not mostly the chidatanya. That's just the opposite. We're bringing a proof from Reb Shimon Gamliel that even he's saying that he can combine together for the mezuzah but not lead it, which also shows, therefore, that nobody holds like Shimon ben Shatach that he could actually lead it. Okay.
Would it be different in front of a melech, which is the case?
No, one of them knows.
If a melech is asking you to bench,
then very nice. You eat some bread and then you bench. Actually, the Rashba points out a different factor over here also. Once they brought him a cup of wine, it's already hesach hadas from eating. So even if he were to eat something, or even if he drinks a cup of wine, how is he leading the benching anyway? We said the other day that once they were masiach das, then he can't join in their mezuman anymore, even if he eats. So actually, the Rashba wants to say that that's another thing where Shimon ben Shatach hold by his own opinion, which the other Chacham wouldn't agree with. He would hold that hesach hadas doesn't matter. Well, because the fact that they gave him a cup of wine to bench is considered hesach hadas. Once they say havlon v'nivrich, they say let's bench.
No, this is the
dessert in those days was generally before benching. Okay. Itzvah Nami, we said also Amar of Chana by Yehuda Meshmei Derava, Afilu Leitaval Elabatsir, even if a person only sits together with them and dips something in sauce, or he only eats with them one gregeris, mitzanes, he combines together, so he can be one of the members of the mezuman, but to be mosi them, their obligation of benching, and in mosi atchirich a kazayis dagon. For that, he would have had to have eaten a kazayis dagon at least as mezonis, if not as bread. That's what we're saying. Then in order to lead benching, it's not good enough to do like Shimon ben Shatach did and just drink a cup of wine. He has to actually eat kazayis dagon. Okay. Amr of Chana by Yehuda, Mishmei Derava, Hilchata, that's the bottom line halacha. Ochal Ola Yerek, even if a person only ate one vegetable leaf, Vishasa Kois Shoyayin, or even if he only drank one cup of wine, Mitzaref Lahoitzi, he combines together with the other people for a mezuman, lahotzi, any motzi, but to be motzi, then he's not motzi, actually, because I stuck on, just like we just said. And then, so again, you have Achronim talk about, what about if he only drank water? We're mentioning over here vegetables or wine, which at least, you know, they're somewhat nutritious or whatever, so that the Magen Avraham says that water also works, and they have to have a pastimes accordingly, that even if a person only drank water, he can still join together for a mezuman with two people. So that's what we said, that's your, right. So in order to join as one of the members of the mezuman, however, with that said, though, you have poskim who say, and Balfour Deva brings this also, that this is primarily only as far as a mezuman of 10. For a mezuman of 3, it's only 2 and 1, then you have to, in order for him to join in the mezuman, then he has to have eaten mezonis or hamotzi or something. Actually, Balfour Deva brings both opinions on the subject. And therefore, ideally, what they should do is they should have him eat some bread or mezonis so that they can make a proper mezuman. If not, then as Balfour Deva says, you can be so mechan the opinions that say that you can do mezuman in that case. Again, the fact that now, for 3. even again, the fraud that nowadays, I think that's what ever says that, the fraud that nowadays, when the person who's leading benching doesn't actually say the brachas to be mostly everybody, he just says nevarich, and therefore there's more reason to be lenient over here. Okay.
The fact that they have the heftah as early, or they can have it right now?
No, we're saying he can have it right now, as long as they didn't have heftah hadas, as long as they didn't say, let's bench, or watch my friend.
People getting ready to bench.
They were getting ready to bench. But they didn't actually say, let's bench yet. Okay. All right. Let's talk about benching in general. Until now, we've been focusing on mezumim. Let's talk about benching in general. Moshe tikkun liyisrael birkas hazon b'shar sheyor lahem mon. When the mon fell for the Jewish people, then Moshe arranged for them the bracha hazon. Many of the Rishonim learn, as the Gemara is going to go on to say over here, that the Gemara is going to bring from Sukkim, that Birkas HaMazon itself is Daraisa, at least the first three brachas, maybe even the fourth bracha. So according to that, what we mean is, Midaraisa, there was a chiyur to say a Birkas HaMazon on after you eat bread, and that it has to consist of certain themes. You have to have a bracha thanking Hashem for the food, and another one thanking Hashem for Eretz Yisrael, and so forth. And then what it is Moshe arranged the Nusach of benching as we have it, or something resembling what we have. There are Rishonim who learn that the Pesukim, the Gemara is going to bring later, are only Asnachtas, and that's just Midaraisa. You don't really have a number of brachas that there have to be in benching. You just have to have in general. You have to thank Hashem for your food, and then Midrabanan, you have to have three or four brachas, and that they have a certain Nusach. So Moshe set up the first bracha when the mon fell. Yeshua tikkun lehem birkas ha'aretz. Yeshua arranged the birkas ha'aretz when they came into Eretz Yisrael, that we should thank Hashem for giving us Eretz Yisrael. When they came into Eretz Yisrael. Then the third bracha, David and Shlomo tikkunu bonei Yerushalayim. David and Shlomo arranged the bracha bonei Yerushalayim. Now, it was a different nusach. We talked about this yesterday or the day before. That when the Beis Hamikdash was standing and when there was Malchus Beis David, then the bracha was that Hashem should continue to preserve them, that there should continue to be a Malchus Beis David, that Yerushalayim should continue to stand and the Beis Hamikdash should stand and etc. after the Churban. And after Malchus Beis David was gone, then was suspended until Moshiach's time, then they changed it to the nusach that we have now, where we ask Hashem to have Rachmanos on Yerushalayim and have Rahmanus and Malchus Beis David, and when we saw them.
So, because
Al-Aretz Al-Mazen, yes, from Yeshua, that's what we think. So, David tikkun al-Yisrael al-Mechav al-Yerushalayim Yirach. David composed the words that Hashem should have Rahmanus on the Jewish people on Yerushalayim, or Shlomo tikkun al-Abayis HaGod of HaKadosh, and Shlomo added the words that we say Abayis HaGod of HaKadosh, this great and holy house, the Beis HaMikdash, because he's the one who actually built the Beis HaMikdash. Then what about the fourth bracha? Hatov ha'metiv v'yavne tiknua k'neged harugei beita. The fourth bracha, Hatov ha'metiv, the chachamim were misfacking it in Yavne because of the harugei beita. The Omer of Masna, Oisa Yem Shinitna, Haruge Beta Lakvura, on the day when the people who were killed in Beta during and after the revolt of Ben Koziva, Bar Kochva, after they were allowed to be buried, Tiknu Biyavna Tova Mativ. In Yavna they made the Takana to say the Bracha Tova Mativ. Hatov Shalah Histrichu. We say the Bracha Hatov. We thank Hashem that he's good, that all those years the bodies didn't spoil, and it was many years from when they were killed until they finally got permission. Because the Romans wouldn't allow it. The Romans wouldn't allow it. They were killed in war. They were killed in rebelling against Rome. And the Romans, the Medrash mentions that the Adrianus, Hadrian, the Roman emperor at that time, had a huge vineyard in Israel, and he ordered the bodies to be stacked up around there as like a fence. You know, you hear what pile of bodies, you know, the Nazis, the Machshamam, are not the first ones to come up with such concept. Anyway, so the body is sitting there. I was sitting there unburied for many years, and they finally got permission from the government to bury them. The Yerushalmi mentions they also had to pay huge amounts of money in bribes. So whatever, they finally got permission to bury them. So they made the bracha tov. That happened on Tu B'Av, by the way. That's one of the things we celebrate on Tu B'Av, is that they finally allowed the bodies to be buried. So Avtoiv Shalai Yisrichu. Avtoiv is that they didn't spoil. V'hamnetiv Shinitna L'Kvura, and that Hashem does good for others, that the bodies were finally able to be buried. So that's the fourth bracha of benching.
And that's why?
That's we said by the Chachamim and Yavne. They're the ones who composed that bracha and said that we should say it to remember the Haruge Yavne. In particular, the Yerushalmi mentions an idea that was the last time, the Yerushalmi uses the expression, at that point, Nigda Keren Yisrael, the horn, meaning the strength of the Jewish people, was cut off, and it's not going to return until Mashiach comes. So therefore, we have to include it. Therefore, we have to include it in benching to remember it for all time. Actually, Rosh Hamshon of Kol Hirsch has a very interesting take on it. He says the reason why they added it in benching is also it's meant to warn us on an ongoing basis whenever we eat food, be careful, don't go rebelling against the Goyish authorities like they did. Anyway, okay, turn it up on him. Say the Birkas HaMazon.
That's the real message.
That's he says that's the message. Yeah. Turn it up on
the rebelled out of Kedusha.
Well, I mean, the original reason they rebelled actually is the word Zeres that were being made against the Brit Mila and Shabbos and others. But still, I guess Rav Hirsch holds that they could have found some other way. They could have, you know, again, they could have given appropriate bribes or whatever, and maybe gotten out of those Zeres rather than having to mount a full scale rebellion, which hundreds of thousands of Jews were killed in it.
So what does that mean exactly? Does it mean we shouldn't do Bris Mila?
No, that's not rebelling as an armed rebellion, like what they did. We're not talking about, no, of course, you go in secret and do a Bris Mila like they did. That's neither here nor there. They don't have any power because they have, as the Rebbe Rashab said, they have power over our bodies. They don't have power over our neshamas. So when it comes to a mitzvah like Bris Mila or whatever, okay, you can't do it in the open. You do it in secret, like Jews in Russia did, but you don't care. We're talking about over here to actually go out in armed rebellion against them is not
against the government.
Yeah, right. Tanabon, say the Birkas Hamazon Tachi. The order of Birkas Hamazon goes as follows. Barach Rishon of Birkas Hazon, Shni of Birkas Ha'oret, Shlish is Boni Yerushalayim, Revi'eth HaTov HaMetzer. That's the order of the Brachas. You actually have, by the way, an interesting machlokas ha-poskim. What if you say him out of order? Are you Yotze or not? So nowadays, just bench him out of a bencher or a sitter or whatever, and you'll say him in order. Okay. On Shabbos, what you do in the third bracha, you begin with nechama, with that Hashem should comfort the Jewish people on Yerushalayim, and you finish off that Hashem should comfort Yerushalayim. One second. In the middle, you say something about the holiness of the day, namely Ritzei. Okay, so Rashi explains like this. There were two major neschos that they had for the third bracha benching in those days. One of them began like we have, Rachim Hashem Alekenu, and it ends, Bonim Rachim of Yerushalayim Omen, so it begins and ends with Rachim. Another nusach that they had began with Nachamenu Hashem Alekenu of Yerushalayim, and it ended, Menachem Tzion of Bonim Yerushalayim. We use that ending, Menachem Tzion of Bonim Yerushalayim, when we say Nachim on Tisha B'Av, and then Tisha B'Av Mincha, but there was a nusach that they'd say it during the year. So Rashi explains, and the Rambam explains somewhat similarly, that what the Gemara is saying is you can use whichever nusach you want, whichever nusach you want, Rachem or Nachamenu, as the case may be. Just on Shabbos, you have to insert Ritzei. The Rif understands a little bit differently. The Rif understands the Gemara to be saying that on weekdays, you have to start with Rachem and end with Boni Barachem of Yerushalayim Amin. On Shabbos, you should begin with Nachamenu and end with Menachem Tzion or Boni Yerushalayim. Many of the other Rishonim disagree with the Rosh on that, and in fact Tosfos says that there's no reason to do that. It doesn't make any sense to do that. So the Maisa, I don't know of any Nusach nowadays that actually says Nachamenu and Menachem Tzion and Bnei Yerushalayim, but so in practice we say Rachim the same on weekdays, and on Shabbos we just insert with say on Shabbos. Okay. Rabbi Yezza says you don't necessarily have to say it in the third bracha. Rotsa la'omer b'nechamer omer. If you want to say Ritzei in the bracha of Nechama, in the bracha Rachem, you can do that. Rabbirchas ha'oretz omer. If you want to say it in the second bracha, in the middle of Noidelacha, like where we put in Alan Yisin, omer, then you could say it over there. Rabbracha shetiknu chachamim b'yavne omer. And if you want to say it in the bracha, ha'tov v'ameter, but they set up in Yavne, you could do it there also. Chacham say no, you can only say it in the bracha of Nechama. So the question is, Chacham Haynu Tanakama, the bracha Rachim. So the question is, Chacham Haynu Tanakama, aren't they saying the same thing as the Tanakama? The answer is Ikka Benayu Di Eved. The answer is what happened. The machlokas between the first Chachamim and the last Chachamim would be what if the Eved? If the person did not say it during the bracha Rachim, so the Tanakama would say, the Tanakama would say, okay, you can, l'chatchila, you should have said it there, but yeah, but you can say it in Hatov Vameitiv. Whereas the Rabbanan Basroi, the second Chachamim in the Braita, would be saying, no, once you pass Bonu V'Rachim Yerushalayim Amen, it's too late. Which is in fact the halacha. So we have in the siddur over there, we have the paragraphs which you say if you forgot Ritzei or Yalav Yave, Baruch Hat Hashem, Shenoth and Shabbosis, or Shenoth and Rosh Chodoshim, or whatever. You said no. So if you miss Ritzei or Yalav Yave, then what you do is if you remembered right after Bona Barachim Yerushalayim Amen, but before beginning the next bracha, then you say one of those paragraphs that you find in the siddur over there, Baruch Shenoth and Shabbosis, Lemenucha L'Ami Yisrael, Baruch Shenoth and Rosh Chodoshim, L'Ami Yave, all half a page. No, so we're talking about an invention. If you started the next bracha, then already it's too late, and you have to repeat over the next bracha being Baruch Hashem Lekein Melech Olam Okei Lo Binim Akein. So once you begin that bracha, it's too late, and you can't say Ritzei or Yalav Yave anymore, and then you have to go back. there are certain times when you don't have to go back because you're not required to eat a meal. Rosh Hashanah night is one example. Rosh Hashanah day is one example. But whatever, yeah, but in general.
No, there is a time when you get to a beat.
That's if you missed. That's if you missed Alan Nitzim. If you missed Alan Nitzim, then you stick it over there in the Harachim. Okay.
So
that's it. So therefore, so again, according to Rabbi Eliezer, you could b'chatzchila say Ritzei or Yalav Yavai in any of the brachas of benching. He didn't mention the first bracha, actually, the Tzlach says, because the first bracha, given that begins with Baruch and ends with Baruch, the Chum didn't want people to be tampering with the Nusach of it. All the other ones don't begin with Baruch, so there's a little more leeway. So Rabbi Eliezer says that. The first Chachamim and the Braisa say b'chatzchila, you should be saying it in Rachim, but b'dievet, if you didn't, you could say it in Hatzav Ba'mediv, among the Harachmans or whatever, like you said. But then, and the second the Chachamim say, no, you can't do that either. You have to say it in Nachem and in Rachem and nowhere else. Okay. Where do we know in Atorda the concept of Birkas Hamazon? So, Zu Birkas Hazon. So that Ve'achalta V'Savalta V'Erachta refers to the bracha that you're making on the food. That you ate, you're satisfied, and therefore you're thanking Hashem for it. Then Pasuk continues, or after Es Hashem Alekecha, that refers to the bracha of Zimun. Yeah, but a couple of different reshoys over here that flip them around, because why are we mentioning Zimun only after the bracha Hazonas HaKoyol? That's out of order, so there's a different girsa that the other way around. Over after is Birkas HaZimun, and Es Hashem Alekecha is Birkas HaZon.
Is
Nevarach, yeah. Al ha'oret zubirkas ha'oret. The pasuk says that we know how the pasuk goes. Well, halter v'savalter v'rachter es Hashem alekecha. Al ha'oret ha'tzori v'asher nasamach. So al ha'oret zubirkas ha'oret. When we say al ha'oret means the bracha thanking Hashem for the land. And again, according to some rishonim, what we're saying is these are actual drashas, and therefore the actual content of these brachas is daraisa, just the actual nusach of them. We said was composed by Moshe or Yeshua or whatever. And according to other rishonim, it's just an asmachta, and they just midaraisa. You have to bench Hashem somehow for the food, and midrabanan there was so much on these sukkim to make brachas with these actual feasts. So ala aris the brachas aris hatova the bonei Yerushalayim. When it continues hatova, that refers to the bracha bonei Yerushalayim. What does Hatova have to do with Yerushalayim? And as we find, when Moshe is asking in Parshas Vayeshanan that Hashem should allow him to go into Eretz Yisrael, he wants to be able to go to this good mountain and the Levanon. And this good mountain means the Har HaBayis. So we see that the Har HaBayis is called Tov. Then Asher Nosan Mokhor, the pasuk finishes off, that Hashem gave you, Zu Hatova Ametiv. That's the bracha, Hatova Ametiv. So according to that opinion, then Hatova Ametiv is also reflected in the pasuk, which we mean, we learned a few days ago, that you have a machloikas whether Hatova Ametiv is Daraisa or Darabonon. This bracha holds that it's Daraisa, because we learn it from the same pasuk as all the other brachas. Okay. Then...
So
in other words, again, it could be that midaraisa, you have to say some kind of bracha there to thank Hashem for the good that he does that, and the Chachamim and Yadna set up an actual particular nusach to remember the Harugei Beit. Okay, not to remember them, but to remember the favor that Hashem did for us regarding them. Okay, Okay, continues the bright. The Aimli Elola Achrov. Now, from that pasuk, you would only have to know that you bench after you ate. Lefon of Minai. And how do we know that you also have to make a bracha before you eat? Amarta Kavachoyma. So you could say a Kavachoyma. Krusaveya Mavarish. If you have to thank Hashem, even when you're full, when on the face of it, you could say, so to speak, like you don't need Hashem to give you the food at this point because you already have it. Lefon of Truroy, Lakoshkin. How much more so when he's hungry and he still realizes that he needs Hashem to give him the food, that he should be saying a bracha. Mind you, we learned this also on Daf Lamed Hey at the beginning of the sixth paragraph. The Gemara brought this Kavachomer, but said it's not really a valid Kavachomer. And in the end, we said that brachas before food are Durabah.
Oh. So you said you can't have a no.
So in the end, we said that the logic is that you can't have a no from the world without a bracha. The Gemara had tried to learn it that it should be Daraisa based on this Kavachomer, but we slugged it up and said it's not really a valid Kavachomer. Okay. Rebbe Omer Enet Sarich. Rebbe says, I don't need that way of saying that you should make the brachas of benching. We learn differently. Ve'achalta v'savalta v'rachta zu birkas hazon. Again, ve'achalta v'savalta v'rachta refers to the first bracha of birkas hazon. Avo birkas hazimun, but when it comes to mezuman v'gadlu l'ashem iti nafka, he learns it from the word gadlu l'ashem iti, as we learned at the beginning of the parak, right? Al ha'oret zu birkas ha'oret, ha'toyv v'zobon yoshalayim, v'cheinu oima ha'or v'atoyv v'atoyv v'alavonin. And what about Atov Lamed? We said Atov Atov, Atov Alavonin, so we see that Tov is associated with this. Lavonin, the simple meaning is it means the Lavonin, the area in the north of Eretz Yisrael, but Rashi on the Pasuk over there also explains from the Medrash that Lavonin also refers to the Beis Mikdash that Malbin Avonin Sein Shoi Yisrael, that whitens, cleans up the Averis of the Jewish people. So Moshe is asking to be able to see that. And we know, by the way, if Moshe had gone into Eretz Yisrael, that the Beit Hamikdash would have been built and it never would have been destroyed, because Ma'aseh Yadav Shel Moshe Nitzchim. Then continues Rebbe, Hatova Meitiv B'Yavetiv. No, Hatova Meitiv, says Rebbe, is not in this passage. We learn Hatova Meitiv, Hatova Meitiv is purely the Rabbanon. It was composed in Yavne. And then, so he doesn't, he hasn't yet Gaushin, he's not Gaushining the words Asher Nosan Loch. He's going to use that. Ainli Elo La'achrov. I only would know so far that you have to make a bracha after food. Lefon of Minayin. How do we know you have to make a bracha before you eat? Tamad Loim Asher Nosan Loch. Therefore, the process is Asher Nosan Loch, meaning Mishen Nosan Loch. From when Hashem gave you the food, you already have to make a bracha for it. So therefore, in other words, so the Tanakhama of this Braisa had been saying that brachas before food we learn from a kavachomer, and Asher Nosan Loch refers to Birchas HaTovah Meitiv, and Rebbe is saying that no, we don't need the kavachomer. Asher Nosan Loch refers to a bracha before the food, and the bracha HaTovah Meitiv is not in fact a raisa, it was just composed in Yavne. Okay. Rabbi Yitzchak says, I don't need Rebbe's limud. I have a different way of learning that you should make a bracha before food. You have a pasuk in this week's parasha actually. The pasuk says, if you listen to Hashem, then He will bless your bread and your water. Don't read uverach, Hashem will bless, but uvarich, you should bless as an imperative. The reason is, Marashah says, because earlier the pasuk continues over there, and in fact all the pasukim around there are in first person. The pasuk continues, "Vasiroisi machlo mikirbecha, I will remove sickness from you." So why uveirach? Why in third person? Hashem will bless your bread and your water. So therefore, it's meant as a hint that you should bless the bread and the water. Yeah. And the emes like karu lachem. When is it called bread? Kodim sheich lenu, only before you eat it. You can't call it bread after you ate it. So therefore, if it says uveirach atlach b'chavas me'mecha, it has to mean making a bracha on bread or the water before you eat them.
So what does he make
with he's saying bracha atlach b'chavas. I agree. Refers to the brachas of benching, but we're trying to figure out how we know that you have to make a bracha before food.
Before.
So again, the Tanakhama had learned it from a kavachomer. Rebbe learns it from Asher Nosan Loch, and Rebbe Yitzchak is saying I learned it from uveirach atlach b'chavas me'mecha. Rav Nosan says I don't need all of that. I have a positive from Sefer Shmuel that tells us about making a bracha. You have like this. You have a story in Shmuel over there, in Shmuel Aleph Parashas. You have a story where Shaul is going around looking for his father's donkeys. He and his servant, eventually they wind up in Ramah, which is Shmuel's city, and they're looking for the Roya, for the Navi, that he should tell them where the lost donkeys are. As we find in those times, you can go to a Navi for any mundane kind of thing like that and ask him to use a Nevuah to tell you.
What about deriving Alacha from the Nach, which we don't?
Okay, so Rav Nosan would say that it's only an asmachta. Even the other opinions are not necessarily saying. We said before in the Gemara on Daf Lamed Hey that the bracha before food is not actually daraisa. All these things were asmachta. So therefore, Rav Nosan says very well, I can have an asmachta.
You can
have an asmachta from Nach, same thing. It's Dirabonon, it's Dirabonon. Anyway, you have the whole story over there where they go, they're looking for Shmuel, and then the pasuk says, as they're about to come into the city, they see a bunch of girls going to draw water, and they ask them, is Shmuel in town? And the girls tell them yes. And the pasuk that Gemara is going to quote now is part of what they tell them. Kivoya Hamair, they said, the girls tell him, when you come into the city, Kain Timsu Unoi, so you will find him right away then, Viterem Yala HaBamot Alecho, before he goes up to the Bama to eat, remember this is after Mishkan Shiloh had been destroyed, so you're allowed to build Bamas and bring Karbanas anywhere in Eretz Yisrael you want, so he's going to go to the Bama to eat, Ki Lo Yoichal Omad Boye, the people are not going to eat until Shmuel comes, Ki Hu Yabore HaZevach, because he is going to make the bracha on the Karban, Achre Chen Yoichal HaKurim, and only after that will the other people who were invited eat. So therefore, so we see from that the concept of making a bracha before food. And the truth is, it's not so simple. Marsha points out that on the face of it, the bracha we're talking about over here is the bracha before you do a mitzvah. We say, Asher k'deshanim v'tzvayseh b'tzvon alech al-azevach. So how do we learn from that? From Birkos Hananim. So different achronim talk about different possibilities. That maybe indeed, we're talking about over here, that maybe indeed, one possibility. I think the Tzlach says, since they say, Ki hu yivarech hazevach, the implication is there's going to be two brachas. One for the food, shahakol, because you eat. And another one, a special bracha for the mitzvah, Asher k'deshanim v'tzvayseh alech al-azevach. Sort of like we have on Pesach, where you make a bracha mosi on the matzah, and then we also make a bracha ala chavos matzah. So you have a bracha, you have some mitzvah nenin, and also a bracha on the mitzvah. Anyway, so we see from that that there's a concept of making a bracha before food. Okay, the Gemara asks, b'chol kach lama. So the Gemara digresses a second. Why did these girls go at such long length? Let them just tell them. You come into the city, you'll find Shmuel. Why the whole long speech? The reason is, l'fishan noshim debroni, is saying. The reason is because women are talkative, and they like to talk, so therefore they talked a lot. Shmuel says a different reason. The reason why they were talking at such great length, they wanted to have time to look at Shaul's beauty. He wasn't the king yet, but he was, it says, he was taller, he was a head taller than everybody else. His shoulders were higher than everybody else's and everybody else, so his shoulders were higher than everybody else's head, so therefore so they wanted to look at him. Because one Malchus doesn't overlap by another one, even by a hair's breadth. Now, up until now, Shmuel had been the leader of the Jewish people. Now, Shaul is going to become king. And that, so therefore, Hashem had to, so to speak, introduce a delay over there, because like Shaul got there a little bit too early for Hashem's plans. So therefore, we have to have these girls slow him down by giving him this long speech.
But Shmuel was a Navi.
So? What does one have to do with the other?
How can an Navi be a leader of the Jewish people?
He was at the time. He was the leader. This is before they were kings. So he has been the leader of the Jewish people for the last 10 or 11 years, ever since Eli passed away. Before that,
what defines the leader of the Jewish people?
That's what he was. We had before him, there was Eli, and then Eli died, and then Shmuel became the next leader. He was the shofet. He judged. He taught the Jewish people Torah or whatever. Yeah.
He was the one
who anointed Shmuel later on in the story, right? Yeah. So what's going on over here with it? It almost sounds like I was making a joke that Noshin Dabroni is saying. So actually, you have there's an interesting sefer called Musar HaNevi'im, which talks about different lessons that we can learn from Pesukim Nevi'im. He says what it is what the Gemara is trying to tell us is, yes, it's normal that women talk a lot. Yes, it's normal that women have a desire to look at somebody handsome. But the real reason is because in Malchus Negas B'Chavetz, Hashem takes people's natural inclinations and people's natural will and uses them to accomplish His purpose in the world. So in this case, since Hashem's purpose was that Shaul has to be delayed because Ein Malchus Negas B'Chavetz, therefore Hashem utilized the fact that women like to talk and that they like to look at him, and therefore, yeah. He brings also from the Bnei Yisachar, who says a different thing, that all three of these things were meant as hints to Shaul about the kingship that he's going to have soon, that they wanted to look at him because a king is somebody you want to look at. Melech B'Yofi Techzen Einav. That they spoke a lot, because we know that Malchus is associated with speaking. Malchus Pez, we say in Pasuk Aleihu. And the Malchus Negas B'Chavetz was meant as a hint to him, eventually there's going to come a time when your kingship is going to be taken away and given to David. Don't try to stand in the way of it, because realize that Hashem decides exactly when a kingship should start and should end. The Bnei Yisachar says this in a sefer. He has a sefer on Agadza called Magid Taluma. He mentions in there. By the way, this pasuk that we're quoting over here, Kihu Yoichal Azevach, there's a number of Maimorim on it from the Rebbein, beginning, I think, from the Tzemach Tzedek, where they explain, basically, that Shmuel is on a much higher level than everybody else. He has to bring down the Hamshacha through the Bracha into the world so that everybody else now, the Kruim, the rest of the people who are invited over there, should be able to eat it and then be able to accomplish something for Ruchnius. Okay, continues the Braisa. The Emiel of Birkas HaMazon. Okay, so far we've said that you have a source in the Torah for Birkas HaMazon from the Pasuk V'achal to the Savalter V'achal. What about Birkas HaTorah? And where do we have a source that you have to make a bracha, that you have to make a bracha when you're learning Torah? So Rabbi Shmuel says, we can make a kavachomer. You even have to make a bracha for something for temporary life, for food which keeps you alive for a certain amount of time. How much more so that you should have to make a bracha for Torah which gives you eternal life and life in Olam Haba? If you do it for food, how much more so for Torah? And that actually, according to most of Rishonim, is the Raisa. This Kavachomer is accepted, and we do have, therefore, the bracha before learning Torah is the Raisa, according to many Rishonim. Asher Bachabonim, yeah. Again, we don't necessarily need that. We have a different way of learning that you should make a bracha on Torah. The pasuk continues that you can make a bracha on the good land which he gave you. So what's the Asher Nasamach? We have a pasuk elsewhere in the Torah at the end of this week's parasha. The Etna Luchas Luchas Evan Ba'Torah Mitzvah. Hashem says to Moshe, I will give you Luchas in the Torah and the Mitzvah. So we see that Asher Nasamach refers to the Torah which Hashem gave us. So in other words, before we had Asher Nasamach refers to the bracha Torah Mitzvah, it refers to the bracha before food. So now we're saying it refers to the bracha on Torah.
Indirectly through the line?
Through the word Asher Nasamach, which we add in Alachah, it's Lachah Ben. Rab Meir says, how do we know that just like you have to say a bracha to Hashem for the good, so also when it doesn't look so good? Because it says Hashem Elekecha gave you, and Elekecha means Zayoncha, means you judge. Elekim always means Mizadin. Bechol din shadoncha, whichever din he, whichever kind of judgment he gives you, ben midatoyv or ben midaspronus, whether it's good or whether it seems to be the opposite. Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira im enis sarich. Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira says, returning to the bracha on Torah, we don't need to learn from Asher Nosamach. Haray ema tova ha tova. The pasuk says, Allah oret ha tova Asher Nosamach. It didn't even need to say tova at all, because in the previous sukkim, it explains that Eretz Yisrael is a good land. So therefore, if it says tova and it says ha tova, tova zu Torah, the word tova then refers to Torah. V'cheinu ema ki lakach tov nasati lachem. I gave you a good teaching. And the hey of Hatova means about the building of Yerushalayim. So you can see from that pasuk in a different way, without having to resort to Allah Oret, without needing. What we said before, in general, Hatova is a bone of Yerushalayim. But we can also learn from the word Hatova itself that you have to make a bracha of benching and ask Hashem to rebuild Yerushalayim, and also that you have to make a bracha on Torah and thank Hashem for giving the Torah. So again, the bottom line halacha is that benching is daraisa according to almost all the poskim. The bracha before Torah is also daraisa according to them, and all the other brachas, pretty much all the other brachas that we say, are drabah. Yeah.